And if we could, Caitlin, I guess if we could get a roll call. I see names, but to see who's on. Make sure we have a quorum.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congressman Big Horse.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
Here.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Chair Stabler.
Present. Okay, we are on Section 12, Diabetes Assistance.
Chair Stabler.
Yes, sir.
This is Kirk, and I don't know if you saw the chat, but Marie did have to leave at 2:30 today. She is the director of that department, so I'll do my best to get through the budget with you all and kind of where they're at. As you all may know, this is actually a calendar year grant, so they still have about roughly what 3.5 months on their grant. Their required key measure for the grant is the blood pressure control. It's to have less than 140 over less than 90. And currently sitting, they are just below their RKM, which is, I believe, is 61%. They're at 54% for now. But again, they do have 3.5 months, and that's something that since Marie was moved back into that position, which, as you all know, she has a lot of experience in, she's been making a big push towards it. Kind of along with Crystal in their department, a lot of the stuff that they do, unfortunately, you know, it's out in the community, has been put off with COVID-19. But a lot of their clinical stuff is still running. One of the things, and I believe in their annual plan last year, was the, two of them was there. They do have one registered dietitian on staff, Julie Free, who does a really good job. But like, again, a lot of the stuff that she's done in the past, such as the tutorials for the healthy eating, those kind of things have had to be put off due to COVID. Another is collaborating with PHN to host the annual 5K race. That did have to get put off again this year. So really looking at it, that RKM is what they focus a lot on. And then with Julie Free, having her in here, her healthy nutrition courses, and then continue on just their daily, day-to-day clinic duties, including the foot clinics that they have twice in Pawhuska and once in Hominy. There has been discussion about also having those clinics in Fairfax at the Fairfax Fitness Center. We're working with the director of operations to get that done, and TDLA to, there's just one minor thing. I believe they have to pull the drain or the into from under the out of the wall to accommodate those chairs. But that's where they are currently on this.
Any questions or comments for Kirk? I have one, and you may not have this information in front of you, Kirk, but I wondered what the census is for diabetics right now. Do you know how many you have?
I apologize, I don't. She brought this all over to me right before she left, and I didn't have her pull that. Okay. So I don't have that in front of me, but we can definitely get that and forward to you all.
Madam Chair, I just had a comment.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, I just want to thank Kirk and Maria and all the staff for this program. We're fortunate to have it, and I appreciate them keeping it going. We have a lot of family members that are touched with this disease, and it's horrible. And I just thank them. So that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, this is not
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes, I need to step away for a few moments. So I'm going to leave the meeting. I apologize. Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Cindy Shangru.
Yes, Ms. Shangru, go ahead.
I looked at our last DM report from Marie at our meeting, at the board meeting last week, and we've got the number of patients on diabetic registry are, as of this time, 410. If that helps.
It does.
With your earlier question. And of course we can, as Kirk mentioned, we can send this August 2021 report to Congress and to the committee.
No, that's fine. I just, if there's other information that might be of interest, that would be great to see it. I just wanted to make the impact on how many patients we do have that are in the program.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, this is Rivard.
Second speaker, go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. I just wanted to say that in Kirk's presentation of the program, he mentioned the collaboration with the public health nurse, and I've been kind of talking to Kirk during this meeting because I wasn't seeing a public health nurse budget, that we didn't have one sent to us from Treasury. So Kirk has sent one, and I'll get Shanna to send it out so you can include it on your next agenda. I believe that program does not it has one position and it's vacant, and they're looking to fill it as soon as possible, and it is their intention to keep the program operating. And so I'll send that out to our clerk right now. Anyway, I just wanted to take the time and mention that since it was discussed by Kirk. So thank you, Chair.
Anyone else? Are we ready for some movement?
Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Yeah, I make a motion to move Section 12, Diabetes Assistance, to the body of Congress as being reviewed and accepted.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. Next is Section 37, SPF, Partnership for Success. Who do we have to speak to that?
Madam Chair, that's me, Anthony Shackford. I'm the director of that program.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, the members of the committee, this is much of the same dialogue as we had earlier in that our grants are they're diverse, where most of our ability to sustain a full staff to be able to fully serve across the reservation and as many schools as we have identified in our original grant application, we have the ability to be able to go into. Right now, we're currently a mainstay in Pawhuska schools, Winona schools, and Hominy. And then we have the ability to go into DePosca schools because this grant reaches down into 9-year-old where it begins there. And so that touches on the 4th and 5th grade at DePosca. So we're fortunate that we're able to be able to go into that school and teach our curriculum. Our curriculum is set up to where we can adjust it to where it works with 9-year-olds all the way up through 20-year-olds. And so it's kind of it's not really a one size fits all, but it's diverse enough to where we can accommodate wherever we need to as far as what grades we're targeting it. We may be working at certain levels at Pawhuska schools, and then we may have different classes at Hominy that we're trying to make contact with. So it gives us a lot of fluidity as far as being able to reach the kids where we've identified that have the highest need for our services. So it's really a good program. It's called Too Good for Drugs, and it's basically structured toward underage drinking, which is our purpose for this grant. when we're talking about meeting the goals, and again, I kind of look at having worked with grants for going on 10 years now, even a little bit before that. The way I explained to my staff, we had an Empower grant that was a smoke cessation several years ago that we got from another program. And we were tasked with going around to other communities, other tribes, trying to provide technical assistance and resources and certain things like that to help promote tobacco-free campuses, nations, and certain things like that. But what we've noticed is that being able to go to like the Tonkawas or someone like that, and they have benches and ashtrays sitting outside their clinic. So being able to go in there and all their elders are out there, you know, they smoke and do certain things like that. Not just use that as an example, but a lot of tribes have tobacco businesses. And so again, it really creates an uphill battle trying to encourage them to be smoke-free and be tobacco-free or vaping-free, which is a lot of the things that we do in the schools too. We've identified that as one of the main problems with the schools is that there's a vaping issue. So again, being able to provide all the resources, the technical assistance, the training of the teacher, the training of the parents, going in and talk to the schools. And so the way I have it set up to where we meet the majority or the prime part of our goal, it's like getting ready to run a race. You know, we do all the training, we do all the educating, we do all the awareness. We're meeting the needs and the desires of the community. And once we get there, we try our best to change those behaviors, to do certain things to where, but part of what I do is I look at my staff and make sure that they've prepared themselves the best that they can be prepared to be able to go in and give the best approach and best pitch to those people that we're partnering with. And this grant is called a partnering grant. And so that's a big part of what we do at this grant is we create partnerships with schools, communities, and other entities that serve youth specifically. So again, it's important that we recognize our people that are putting in the effort and putting in the work to where sometimes making a community or a school completely drug and alcohol free ultimately is the prize that we're reaching to try to obtain. But yet a big part of that is us having the readiness to be able to go in and be able to offer those resources and offer that technical that advice and that guidance and mentoring. That's a big part of it. It's not so much the end result as it is being able to help those people and give them everything they need to be successful. So part of that, the ownership of it and the responsibility falls to within their efforts as well. So it's why the community partnership grant is so important, is because we do so much we can do. And yet part of that is that the schools and the communities have a buy-in or an ownership of what we're providing them. So it enables them the ability to come in and believe in what they're doing, not just what we're pushing, but actually what they see, what we have to offer, which allows them to really get in there and put their heart and soul into this initiative. And so it's a great success. But again, a big part of it is us being ready and being able to provide all the help that we can do to those communities and to those schools that allows them to carry part of the plan forth. And it's what we call a system of care when we partner with these people. So it really works well.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments?
If there are none, Madam Chair, I will make a motion that this committee has reviewed and accepted Section 37 of ONCA 2195.
As reviewed and accepted?
Reviewed and accepted, yes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any yes. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Next is Section 38, Treatment Alternative to Street Crime.
That would be me, Stacy Lookout.
All right, you have the floor, Stacy.
Like I had mentioned before, we are at full staff here at the Counseling Center as well for the first time in 3 years. So that is something to be celebrated. We are currently seeing 60 adult clients and 72 children clients. That's just at the Counseling Center, outpatient alone plus drug court. Those are active clients that are seen every week. Some of them are multiple times a week. So we are growing. We now have 11 licensed behavioral health providers. They are licensed clinical social workers, licensed professional counselors, and licensed alcohol and drug counselors. We also have certified case managers on staff as well. And over the last year, we have added what's called a PRSS position. It is a peer recovery support specialist, and that is somebody that is in recovery, and they are now giving back by offering peer support groups and keeping in contact with clients as they graduate from either outpatient or the PRTs, and just offering that extra hand of support. Over the next year, we hope to kind of fade out the task name and we're going to fade in the Counseling Center. I've found just from feedback over the years, it's been a little confusing when people are not from this area. They don't recognize TASC as our Counseling Center or behavioral health services. So we are going to make that a little more user-friendly and easier to figure out what we do. So we are going to almost rebrand to Osage Nation Counseling Center. So everyone will be able to see that transition over the next year.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Stacy? If not, are we ready for movement?
Madam Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you. Thank you, Stacy. Make a motion to report Section 38, Treatment Alternative to Street Crime, to the body of Congress as being reviewed and accepted.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you all very much. Next is Section 27, Primary Residential Treatment, Men's Facility.
Okay. Over the last year, we have seen... I just lost my place. 21. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't read my writing. 32 men over the last year. And I know COVID had an impact on those numbers significantly. But we're hoping to rebound from that. So we saw 32 men. And 10 of those men actually transitioned from PRT into our MAP grant, and we are still tracking their progress. They're all still sober, still doing well, and we've been offering MAT to all clients where it's applicable. So that is a service that we offer. We don't require anybody to agree to MAT when they graduate, but 32 graduates of the program.
Have any questions or comments for Stacy on PRT? We all know that we're going to get some new facilities, which we're very excited about and happy for you all. If there's no more questions, we're ready for movement.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Stacy, like make a motion to report Section 27, Primary Residential Treatment, PRT, and ASAP to the body of Congress as being reviewed and accepted.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Anyone opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you all very much. Next is Section 45, Women's Primary Residential Treatment.
That is also me, Stacy Lookout. Over this past year, we have served 22 women, and 8 of those were Osage women that went through the entire 60-day program or more. And again, COVID has impacted those numbers a little bit, but we are looking to increase that over the next year.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, are we ready for movement?
Chair.
Speaker Pratt.
Move to report ONCA 2195, Section 45, Women's PRT, as reviewed and accepted to Congress.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Say no. Motion passes. Thank you all. And next is the Section 20, the Health Authority Board. And I guess I want to say first, thank you, Stacy. I think you had most of the budgets today. Health Authority Board, and I believe the chairwoman of that board is on the line. Is she still with us?
I am available.
There she is.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Stabler. And committee members, I'm happy to be here this afternoon, and I'm also very happy to report for the first time in a long time, the board is now fully staffed with 5 board members, with a recent addition of Mr. Tim Shadlow, and not too long before that, Ms. Haley Kramer. So we are sitting now with a full board and certainly ready to move forward. Our annual plan, we have added, in addition to a little bit more than what we did last year, we always want to continually improve our quality of care, our constituent satisfaction measures, our employee satisfaction, and certainly our compliance. We want to continue with appropriate levels of professional staffing in order to maintain growth of clinical services. A few things we have added to our annual plan this year is to create and establish a master plan for our health services complex for the 320 acres we recently purchased. As Chair Stabler mentioned, we are, as you are well aware, we will be building men's PRT, a women's PRT, a juvenile PRT, a men's transitional living, a women's transitional living, and we will also build a new Osage Nation Counseling Center on that property. But we want to see what else. That's not going to take the whole 320 acres. So we want to look and see what else we need to do with that, and we will create a steering committee to include all services, grants, property, finance, human resources, planning, medical, et cetera. We want to establish a vision, and also we want to analyze services to be accommodated. Equally important is to continue our public relations efforts to increase our constituent knowledge of health needs and the corresponding services available. We want to enhance public perception of the Osage Nation in general, lead public perception that the Osage Nation core values are health, wellness, and community service. We want to finalize planning and land purchase and break ground on the new clinic in fiscal year 22. This is an ongoing from last year, and I'm sure the fiscal year before. Also, we are would like to transition plan to health services independence, which I believe the committee in Congress will be working on with us. We'd like to steer our health services independence towards a more practical direction by identifying and fundamentally restructuring the organization systems. We are working with REDW at this time and finalizing. We're nearing completion on that with their final projections, our recommendations to be delivered to us shortly, I think in a couple of weeks. We want to ensure our critical time functions are performed efficiently and make sure that our ARPA funds are completed and our planning completed so that we can begin working on under that timeline in an appropriate manner and keep things up to date and moving along efficiently. Transitional management, we want to gear towards enabling, facilitating, and guiding the functions of the new organization to be effective and acceptable independent functioning systems. And obviously we want to make sure we stand in compliance with Osage Nation policies and laws, state policies, laws, as well as federal. Also very important in our annual plan is to plan advanced supportive elder care services. We want to deliver a wide range of needed medical, personal care, and supportive services to the elders, improve our highest level of care for the health, independence, and safety of our elders, create and establish services for our elders who gradually need additional assistance and care because we want them to be served in the community if possible, whether it be adult daycare, respite care, assisted living care, nursing home care, hospice care, or memory care. We do have one vacant position in our budget of our administrative assistant. We have, again, posted that position, and hopefully we will get someone to fill that in short order. The rest of our budget is pretty well self-explanatory. We know that our professional fees are going to go towards board retraining and updating as stated in our bylaws. And I'm open to any questions. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Frazier.
They have $12,000 budgeted for travel, and ONCR 2030 sets the limit for the health authority board on travel for at $6,000. I just wanted to make the committee aware.
Yes, we run up against that with some other boards as well, so that will have to be adjusted.
Chair.
Speaker Pratt.
Did you say six, Jordan?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I would like to amend that at this time.
Okay.
Okay. Page, or excuse me, Bill ONCA 2195, page 21, line 944, travel, strike $12,000 and insert $6,000 and adjust totals accordingly.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Chair, I would just like to make, I believe that Ms. Shingro's aware of what we're stating. I just wanted to make sure that she's clear on what we're doing and why.
Well, I see you're reducing our travel budget from 12,000 to 6,000, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And okay. The reason for that is that the those amounts are set in the resolution that is passed by Congress with the board stipends and travel monies per resolution that's set every, I believe,
other year.
2 years.
Okay.
So that's, we've had to do that with other boards thus far. And it's just per the resolution, the information in the resolution. So we're just abiding by that.
Thank you for bringing us into compliance.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's end of my discussion. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, clerk, do you have that amendment down?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
All right, thank you. So the amendment is to ONCA 2195, page 21, line 944, titled travel, strike 12,000, insert 6,000.
Yes, Chair.
Yes.
One moment. I would like to, and I just made a mention of that earlier today. I would, in the journal, I would like to add, after the bill number, section 20, Health Authority Board, into the amendment, please.
Okay. Okay. All right. There's nothing else. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. There are any other comments or questions on this budget? Hearing none, are we ready for movement?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Section 20.
Right. I just wanted to, did you already discuss that you verified that that was the only issue per the resolution? Because I'm not looking
yes,
at
ma'am.
The resolution. Okay. All right. Just wanted to confirm that. So I move that as ONCA 2195, section 20, Health Authority Board, be reported as reviewed and accepted, reported to Congress.
As amended.
Thank you, Congressman. Yes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you all. And the next one is the Wajaji Health Center. And Mr. Shaw is on the phone with us.
Yes, Chair, I'm ready to begin.
Floor, sir.
Starting off, going back to our annual plan from last year, There were several plan or goals that we did meet. Two of our goals were related to COVID. One was the contact tracing, another was just the identification and getting out into the population and catching these cases. And those are two things I would say that we, especially whenever Dr. Shaw was here, we met those goals. And then it's kind of carried over into this second surge now. Two goals that I forwarded on to our annual plan this year is the reorganization. We're still going through it right now. We moved on to another with REDW. And as Chair Schenger said, we're waiting on the finalized delivery from them. So we should be receiving that within the next month, I believe, if not sooner. And then I will say one encouraging piece from REDW's reports was there were several things that items that they have recommended for our health services. And a lot of those are changes that we've implemented just in the last 3 months, along with already being able to implement some of the ones that we hadn't already done. Another one that we're moving over is the health clinic construction. Of course, that's going to continue on for the next few years. So we're working closely with the administration, is working closely with executive as well as the health authority board to continue on. And hopefully within the next few years, we'll be in our new facility. The first goal on this annual plan is the one that's first and foremost for us is successfully passing the Triple AHC accreditation that comes in April. I believe it's the later part of April of 2022. So we're working diligently on that. Luckily, the groundwork was laid in 2018 whenever they did it. They did a really good job. So those policies are in place for us. Of course, with COVID and everything, there's been a lot of changes within the clinic and health services all over, not just us. Few of the other ones that we will be working on this year is our EHR security protocols. HIPAA is a big focus for us. Rockland LeBeau, our IT site manager, and working with our Stephanie Spencer, who's the clinical applications coordinator that assists us out of Pawnee. Those two, they will be doing chart audits and reviewing those and ensuring that there's zero unauthorized charts, which includes family members, viewing patients without cause. You shouldn't be unless you're in direct care of that patient, there's no reason to be in their chart reviewing anything. Implementing medication reconciliation in the pharmacy. This is something the chief pharmacist, Carrie Lewis, has really been big on. And we now have another goal that we met from last year was having 5 full-time pharmacists. They all bring different skills to the table. And the most recent one that we hired actually came from Jane Phillips. And this is primarily what she did. She was on the floor doing med recs. So that's something that as COVID, we were hoping to get into it, but then this surge came about. And so as quickly as we can, we're looking to implement that inside the clinic. Also becoming fully staffed. That was a goal of last year. Unfortunately, our psychiatrist left, and many as you know, that's a hard position to fill. I believe we've had it posted 3 times now so that's over 90 days that we've had it posted and only had one applicant during that time, full-time applicant, and for different reasons that one didn't work out. So we're looking to continue to improve our behavioral health program and outreach. That's our last goal. And you'll see in our budget, we actually added a new position. It's a caseworker. Whenever we met with, whenever Jan Dunn was still here and Harmony Fuller, that was one of the things is that, a lot of our scheduling and those initial intakes are done by our patient registration, which is no knock on them, but they don't have that training or the skills to, if there is something urgent that needs to be discussed. So this is a bachelor's level position Behavioral Health, BSW, that they'll be, will fill this position, and that'll just continue whenever we're able to get this full-time psychiatrist position filled, then that'll improve our, there'll be four members of that team now instead of the three. That's pretty much all for our goals. Would you like me to just go right into the budget?
Yes, I have a question though before we
yes.
Get to the budget. So you said you'd already implemented some of the recommendations by REDW. Can you
yes.
give us just a brief rundown of some of those new applications?
So one of them actually was the security protocols as far as HIPAA and everything. Whenever they did the initial interviews with different members of the clinic team, and I believe you were also on there as well. So some outside, that was some of the concerns was HIPAA. So that's been a big focus for us in the last 3 months. So that's one thing that we've implemented. Also our org chart, they just gave us the organization chart from this last year, this past meeting, and we had already implemented several other things. One was a human resource recruitment and retention specialist. A number of the providers, along with nursing, they felt like that was something that was lacking, was the retention and also recruitment. Again, no knock on the nation's HR, but they're not skilled in that area because it's a niche. I mean, there's people that are designed to do that, and a lot of it falls back on us, the recruitment and the retention. And though we make our best effort, it to have someone specialized in that area will be big for retention on our end. Apologize, I'm trying to think. I should have had them lined out. The budgets for PRC, we had discussed this at the last meeting, and for departments as a whole, in the past, I believe that it's the budget's just been looked at as a whole, but it breaking out by department as best as we can. But the PRC budgets, looking at medical, dental, optometry, dispersing the money between those three, and the other areas that come up, but those are the three main areas, setting aside money so that we know what we can approve, what we can spend, and also setting aside those guidelines that each of those areas, have, that whether it's automatic approval we would expect Dr. Lewis to set the guidelines of what should be approved. So those are a few of the points that they brought to us, and we had already either been working on or now we are working on implementing.
Okay, thank you. Anyone mm-hmm. else have any questions before we move straight to the budget? Okay.
Perfect. Are you ready for them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's not a lot of changes, with most budgets, although ours is a $70 million budget, so any change is major. We did have an increase of $183,000 in wages. There's a lot of moving pieces. So we actually have 10 new positions that we requested, but we had cut seven. Five of those are essentially replacement positions just to fix the name, the title, and a few of the duties that we would like to that position to have now. So did request 10 new positions, but like I said, we've cut seven, and it was only an increase of $183,000 in that line item. Our IPA, we're going to do well in that. In our last, if you look at our financials, we were a little over for last fiscal year, but that includes we'd given out a couple different bonuses that included our federal employees. So that's what pushed us over that amount. And then most of it's flat. Travel, I think like everybody else, we didn't even come close to any of that just because of COVID. And I hope, after the beginning of the new year that we'll be able to do those things in the new calendar year. But I expect this to kind of be on the same path that we are right now with COVID, unfortunately. Our program supplies, we did have a slight decrease just because of where we were at. And, you know, this is a really a both this past fiscal year and this year are kind of unique because we've received so much other federal funding for COVID. A lot of our program supplies right now, we are purchasing more than we ever would in the past, but a lot of it is being paid out of those budgets. And we're making a big effort to pay as much as we can out of those budgets and retain as much as we can in our base budget. The conferences, trainings, just dues and registrations, a lot of those actually from this past fiscal year were online registrations. So we made no changes there. And then, sorry, did somebody say something?
It's probably me. I apologize. This is Brandy. I returned to the meeting. I'm muting now. Thank you.
Okay. We did come in a little low on our space cost. I was looking at this last week we expected our space cost to increase a little bit whenever we took on the new PRC moved over to Old Minerals facility. So we kept that at 200,000 to just in case that continues to rise. Our professional fees were, we did decrease that by about 304,000. And most of these are the decreases were to make up for that indirect cost. Cause, you know, whenever, like I said, when you have such a big budget, that was about around a $500,000 increase for us. So we've looking in that and forecasting, we were able to, decrease that. And then our direct services, I don't know how up to date your all's financials are, but whenever we looked at the budget originally, we were well under half of what we had set aside for direct services. And this kind of goes into our healthy conversation we had the other day in the Health Authority Board meeting about, you know, being able to do different things. Of course, we can't restrict these services to Osages only with this funding, but, you know, increasing what we can approve, not just on the medical side or primary care side, but also in dental and optometry and setting those budgets aside so we know where we're at. And through most of about three quarters of this last fiscal year, we were still spending out of 20 funds. So, you know, with PRC, it's kind of a balancing act between, you know, we have plenty of funding in our budgets, but, you know, what do we approve and what don't we approve, that kind of thing. And then equipment stayed the same and advertising, everything else after that remains the same.
Any questions or comments for Kirk?
Chair, this is Rivard. I have a comment.
Second speaker, go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Kirk, and good job on your presentation of this large budget. Was very really good. I learned something from it, so thank you. I just see that what stands out the most is probably the increase in IDC, and I'm assuming it's because of your positions, your personnel, and the professional fees that are being charged, even though they went down a little bit from last year. You got an increase of almost half a million, probably 485,000 or somewhat. Mm-hmm. It just is standing out in your budget. It's just 2.9 million in IDC. Is tremendous to me because your budget is so large. It just seems really, really, it's just a large amount that you're paying for IDC. And I don't know. I just wanted to make that comment. I just feel like that's so much. 2 million, 2.9. And I'm just thinking about what the rate used to be. And I think Congressman Walker and I discussed this a couple of meetings ago about what it used to be. But, you know, it looks like it's jumped from 1.3 to 2.9, or that's your actual right now. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I just wanted to make that comment that, you know, it looks, and I know these are federal dollars, but at the same time, it just always tells me that that's the amount of money going away from our people, you know, because 2.9 could do so much. And I know, you know, we have to pay IDC for services, admin services, but my gosh, that's a lot. And if we keep growing, which I hope we do, I just see that number just growing and growing and growing over the years. So anyway, that's my comment. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? I had a question. Oh, I remember it now. So we heard in the Treasury meeting that they have added a position for healthcare over at the Treasury. Mm-hmm. So does this mean at this time you all are not going to have a financial officer at the clinic?
No, and that's, if I could respond.
Yes.
That's one of the positions that was cut, was the financial analyst. After reviewing it with Treasury and Director of Operations, we made that decision. Right now it's working out very well for us. You know, luckily Mr. McIntosh is able to help us out a lot, and that's, he didn't fill that position, obviously. But I know that he's become more busy, and that's something I think we're going to have to kind of manage, is what our expectations out of the position, reviewing our billing and whatnot. That's a lot of what, you know, Mr. Guild was doing in the past, was helping us review our billing and whatnot. So I think right now Mr. McIntosh is managing it, but they did say, like you said, they're adding that position to eventually move over, and or at least what I was told, to eventually move back in with the clinic.
So are you all paying for that position, or is Treasury paying for it out of your indirect?
Well, that's a good question. I can't answer that at the moment, to be honest with you.
Madam Chair.
Is that Casey?
Yes, ma'am. This position was discussed, I don't remember, maybe Friday. I don't remember, but I believe, if memory serves me correctly, it is in the IDC, the Treasury, or the accounting, the IDC budget.
Okay. Thank you for that. I have anything else. If no one has anything else, are you ready for movement?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion that this committee has reviewed and accepted Section 42 of ONCA 21-95.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you all. Okay, so that would take us back to ONCA 21-105. And Mr. Potts is not with us right now. And I told him that I would move it to Wednesday's agenda. And so we will cover that then. Do we have to have a motion to postpone that? I think I do.
You can, but you don't have to. If you haven't got to it, it can just fall to the next agenda.
All right, thank you. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our agenda. There's no need for an executive session. So we're at adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 We are adjourned, and our next meeting will be Wednesday, IFS. Till we
thank you, Ms. Paula. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you all for attending.
Thank you all.